Tonight I'd like to invite you back over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 reads this way. It says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. Again, Lord, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together in your house to open up your word. And so, Lord, we pray your blessings on your word. We ask, Lord, that you would guide us by your Holy Spirit. Empower the service, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, that you might be glorified and that we might be drawn closer to you and be the witnesses you've called us to be. And we'll be careful to give you the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. What a privilege. The title of the message here tonight is Spiritually Discerned. You find that right there in our text. And so I could ask the question, what is spiritual discernment? That's a good question. What is spiritual discernment? Well, spiritual discernment, believe it or not, has nothing to do with our intellect. Spiritual discernment has nothing to do with our emotion. People can get emotional and have no spiritual discernment. People can have wisdom of this world and have no spiritual discernment. Spiritual discernment is a revelation of God, by God, amen, given to us by His Holy Spirit. So some people think they have this idea, all right? You knock on a door and you tell people about the Lord, and they say, oh, they're going to try to save me. You ever hear that? They're going to try to save me. Well, I've got news for you. I can't, and nobody else can save a single person. That is a work of the Lord. God says this. He says, unless the Father draws you, you can't come to me. The Father has to do a work. The Holy Spirit has to do a work. Bring the conviction, bring the understanding. It doesn't matter really how much you think you might want to get saved and go to heaven. You can't do it without the Lord. And by the way, it's all His work that's been done. The difference between the truth of Christianity and every other religion, if we want to use that word, is that everything has been done for us in believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Every other so-called faith, and I call it so-called because there is no other name in heaven or under heaven or on earth whereby the Bible, the Word of God, the truth of God says we must be saved, and that is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So every other one, and people sometimes, in the day and age in which we live, everybody gets offended so easily. I wonder if people even think about this. They're getting offended, but do they ever even think that they might be offending the person that they think is offending them? I wonder if they even contemplate the idea that they might be offending them. And the reason for that is because man left to himself becomes very self-centered. In other words, the world revolves around me. And unfortunately, that happened at birth. And the reason why it happened at birth, and you moms know this to be true, and if you're a dad, you know it, not as well as the moms, I think, but if you're a mom, you understand it. And the reason why is because the little child at birth, when it wants something, it will get your attention. Will it not? And what's really, I'm sometimes a little bit taken when I go to the grocery store or something, at somewhere like that, and the little child, 3 or 4 year old, wants the parent's attention. And what are they saying? Me first, me first, me first. And the reason why that all came about was because of Adam and Eve's disobedience when they disobeyed the Lord and went in the wrong direction. But praise God, God didn't leave us there. Who was the one that came looking for them? Was it not God? And then we have the story of Cain and Abel. And Abel did the right thing. Cain didn't do the right thing. Cain offered the best that he had. And God came to him and said, "Why is thy countenance fallen? Why are you sad?" And really, he had to know the truth, and that's because he didn't like the outcome of him giving God what he thought he should give him instead of giving him what he asked for.
And so the Lord says to him, hey, listen, if you do well, if you do the right thing, won't you be accepted as well? See, listen, God did not come to condemn the world because the world already is condemned. When you see people that are full of themselves, in the flesh, doing things that are ungodly, that's not the problem. That's the symptom. You're seeing the symptom of the problem. So I want to remind you, you know, when you drive your vehicle, you've got little lights that sometimes come on that tell you there's a problem. Well, we can fix that. Just take a little hammer and pop that light out. And then just keep driving. And everything will be all right, right? No, it won't. But is the light the problem? I mean, let's just put that light out. That is a stinking problem. Let's just put that light out. No. That is a symptom of the problem. That is letting you know that there is a problem. So when we see mankind carrying on, well, my goodness, we ought to be reminded, because that's where we were at without the Lord Jesus Christ. We also were lost and undone. We weren't born righteous by any means, but the grace of God came into our life. And so God says, I want you to love them as I have loved you without reservation, to point them to me by my grace. And so God wants to give us tonight spiritual discernment. But I want to remind you about something here in our text verse. In verse 14, notice what it says here. The natural man. What is that? The man without God. The mankind. Man, woman, without God. Here's what it's saying. Receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. We can't. We can't. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So here's how we look at it. We say, oh my goodness, that is the most ridiculous thing I could ever imagine. Have you ever had somebody that would call something ridiculous that they had no understanding, they had no knowledge of, and then all of a sudden they found out, well, wait a minute, once I was shown what I thought was to be ridiculous, now all of a sudden it's not so ridiculous. I mean, after all, listen, you can just do anything you want, can't you? And everything be all right? And how we want to live? Everybody just do what you want to do, and it'll be all right. Right? And listen, you got a car? Water is a lot cheaper than gas. Just do what you want. Fill your tank up at a lower price. Get your garden hose, stick it in there, and tell me how far you're going to go. And here's the truth. Ready? We will not get anywhere that we think we want to go without God. See, the real purpose of life, the real peace, not the world's peace. What's the world's peace? The world's peace says, you better do what I think you ought to do, or I'm going to do away with you. Right? Isn't that amazing? There are people that are walking around the world that say, everything ought to be done this way. If not, there's a problem with you. Well, please tell me who died and made them boss. Tell me who put them into the position of authority. Aren't they not just another human being like me? Who gave them the authority to be the boss over anybody? And yet, my goodness, there are people that are hurting people. There are people that are destroying the lives of other people based upon their own righteousness. And then they say this, we're all about love. We're hurting other people. We hate other people if they don't fit what we like. And yet they want to say that they're the ones that are the lovers. Really? That's a peculiar love to me. You want to hurt me? And here's the whole thing. Really, the truth of the matter is, if what I believe is a fairy tale, feel sorry for me. But it shouldn't make you angry. But why do people get angry? Why do people get angry? Because they know there's truth there. See, there's a void that cannot be filled by anything of this earth but God alone in the heart of every human being. There is a void. You will never find fulfillment. You never will without God. Trust me, I tried for the first 24 years of my life. I thought if I'll just make this achievement, if I'll just get that attainment, and I went for it and I got it, then all of a sudden some peculiar thing happened when I got that achievement. I thought, okay, now what? That didn't really quite fill me like I thought it would. And then one day, God brought me to the understanding that my sins have separated me from my Creator, and that He gave me His Son, and He took the death penalty for me. And He offered me eternal life. You mean we'll live forever? Oh, yeah. I didn't have that understanding. You would have never known that I would ever come to this place to think that there's a life to come after this life. Because that's not the way I was living. In fact, the person, now I wasn't, in the eyes of the world, I was a good person. In the eyes of the world, I was not doing anything that the world would consider to be unkind. But I was a sinner that was separated from my Creator. And then when God stepped in and helped me understand what eternal life was all, and He had to open up my eyes. The guy that came that I was training and that was witnessing to me in a nice way, you know what I told him? Oh, I'd be so glad to know about eternal life. Please tell me all about it. That's not what I said to him. I said, not interested. That's what I said to him. I am not interested. You know why? Because I thought with the natural mind, he was telling me a fairy tale. I thought what he was trying to give me was religion. That's what I thought. And then he explained to me about a relationship with my Creator and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. God opened up my heart and my mind. And that gave me a peace that truly passes understanding. I cannot tell you. I didn't hear anything. I didn't see anything. But I will tell you this. I understood God revealed himself to my spirit. Not with the natural eyes, not with the natural ears, but God let me know that he existed and that he had forgiven me. First, he had to show me that I was a sinner. I thought I was a pretty upstanding person. I did. I had this idea, ready? God's going to take my good and allow me to get into heaven, because obviously, you know how the scale, you know, God takes the good and the bad, and here's the amazing thing, ready? Everybody thinks they've got more good than bad. Everybody you talk to, are you going to make it? Yeah, I'm going to probably just squeak in, but I'm going to make it. Yeah, I'll get there. Here's what they don't know because of the natural mind. Ready? All, not some, all of our righteousness in the eyes of God are filthy rags. Unacceptable. But here's the good news. God died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for how many of our sins? Oh, all of them. Does that mean the ones in the past? Does that mean the ones today? Does that mean the ones tomorrow? Well, my goodness, I must be in his hand then. Isn't that something? But God brings that understanding. But that has to be spiritually discerned. Now watch this. As we look to our text, I want you to look at something here concerning spiritual discernment. Back up to verse 10. And in chapter 2 there in 1 Corinthians, notice this. But God hath revealed them unto us, how? By the Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And the natural man does not. He rejects them. And I want you to notice what God does, first of all. Have you ever asked, what is going on? You ever ask that question? What is going on? Has your world ever gotten flipped upside down and you've asked what's going on? Let me back you up to chapter 1, verse 9, and look what it says here. Ready? God is faithful. Did you see that? May I tell you something? That's a revelation that God gives to, and which brings peace. And that even gives us peace when we don't understand what is going on. 1 Corinthians 1, 9. God is faithful by whom ye were called. Notice this. Unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. A fellowship is a relationship. God has called us to that. That requires spiritual discernment. And by the way, we don't have it unless God gives it. Do you know what we have to do? We have to say, oh God. Spiritually speaking, did you know that we're born blind? Can a blind person lead you anywhere? No. Hey, listen, we need the Lord. And we think because maybe we have physical sight, oh, I know how life works. No, we don't. We need to humble ourselves and realize concerning spiritual things we can't see. And here's the truth of the matter. Ready? The moment somebody leaves this life, they learn an important truth. Hopefully, because they're saved, they have a home in heaven. But there are many, the Bible tells us, that learn a horrible, could have been a good truth, but to them, because they rejected the Lord, did not know the Lord, I'm not talking about religion, I'm not talking about going to church, and that those things are important. I'm talking about the relationship, the fellowship that God's talking about. They leave this life, and instantaneously, they find out the reality of what they were taught and told, but deep down in their hearts, they knew was wrong. And that is that we did not make ourselves, God created us. God created us. My goodness, you can look out there and see the automobiles. Is there something to those automobiles? They didn't make themselves, did they? Somebody was working on those vehicles on an assembly line, putting those things together. And our bodies are more complicated than that. So my goodness, to think that, oh yeah, we just kind of just popped up out of some primordial soup here is a fiction. How far are you going to go with half a brain, half a lung, or one-tenth of a developed anything in your body? It's not going to happen. They'd like to think that. So now the latest is they're looking out to Venus. They're thinking, we've come from Venus. Tell me, please, pray tell me. What science is that? Listen, science is observable, reproducible, and falsifiable. That is something out there in the air, in the ether, and you can't put your hand. That's not science. Science you ought to be able to see, and you ought to be able to work with. I can show you science. Ready? Ready? Watch this. You're going to be surprised. Ready? Watch. That's science. What did you see? You saw the law of gravity at work. You want to see? Watch this. Ready? Ready? Watch this. How many times will that happen? How many times will that happen? If I drop it, will it stop? If I drop it, will it just float there? But then you got some people out there saying, well, we think we've come from Venus. Man, that person ought to be consider his education if he calls himself a scientist. You please pray tell me where you came up with that. Tell me, oh, well, we think because we saw some gas. I don't know what you saw, but maybe you had too much pizza at night and come up with that one. So, God says, he is faithful. That's important. By whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you know you have eternal life, or do you think you have eternal life? How do you know that? Now, listen, I will tell you, I'll be the first one to tell you, faith in Christ is not scientific, but it does not buck any of the laws of science. Not one law. Neither does creation buck one law. Not one. Evolution does. The first and second law of thermodynamics says everything is wearing down, not getting better. But the Bible says men are going to be able to travel to and fro. They're going to increase in knowledge, and they're going to become more ignorant concerning the truth of God. Ready? I don't know what the name of this company is. It looks like the supersonic transport airplane. They're coming up with four of them, and here's their boast. And they may be able to do it. They'll be able to get anybody anywhere in the world for $100 on this airplane in 4 hours. There's one flight, the longest flight I think they said would be from L.A. to Australia, and I think that's going to take them 8 hours. But everywhere else, they'll do it in four. And listen, I'm not going to put it past them to do it. This guy's on the horizon. I can't remember the name of this airline. It's a sleek-looking airplane. They say it's going to be very, very sleek-resistant, and it's going to break records, and maybe it will. But there's still a problem. know God. Know God. And everybody involved with that is going to leave this life. And we will be gone longer than we will have lived. George Washington died over 200 years ago. He's been dead longer than he's been alive. Now, the truth of the matter is he had a testimony of salvation. So he's more alive than we understand in Christ. He was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will tell you there was not one accomplishment that was worth more than his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I promise you, the rich man, when he lifted up his eyes in hell, said, "Go tell my brothers." They couldn't come over there. There was Abraham there, and there was Lazarus, and they could not come over there. And he said, "Please go tell my brothers." And he said, "They've got Moses and the prophets." You know what he was saying? They've got the Word of God. If they won't hear the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, that's the way God works. It's the way God works. It's simple. Here's what we want to say. Well, I don't think God ought to work that way. How do you think God should work? God says, "I'm going to make it easy. I'm going to tell you how to do it." We're smarter than God, aren't we? Well, I think God ought to do it this way. No. The problem is pride. And what we ought to do is humble ourselves and say, "God, help me to know you and to understand." Now watch this, ready? These are believers. Spiritual discernment. He asks a question in verse 13 of chapter 1, ready? Paul, through the Holy Spirit, says, "Is Christ divided?" Is Christ divided? That's a good question. First he says, "God is faithful." Do you believe that? Amen. Then he said, "Is Christ divided?" These believers began to say, "Hey, listen, I like this preacher, I like that preacher, and some said we're of Paul, some said we're of Peter, some said we're of Apollos, and some were really spiritual." Not really. They said, "Oh, we're only of Jesus. We only hear him." Well, that's not the way God works. So he says, "Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name." Listen, did you hear that? "Unless some say that I had baptized in my own name. He said, they were making so big of me, you'd have thought I was the Savior. Well, they messed up, didn't they? Paul was saying that. He says, listen, spiritual discernment, beginning with salvation and then afterwards, or we will go astray. He's speaking to Christians. And then lastly, I want you to see something here. Ready? Why does God do the things that he does? Now, I want you to know he's talking to the New Testament church. He's talking to believers. But this truth is good for everybody. Look at verse 28. And base things. In fact, look at verse 27. "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." He's chosen the simplicity of the gospel to pull down the intellect of the proud individual without God. "And base things of the world," verse 28, "and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and notice things which are not, to bring to naught the things," or "to bring to nothing the things that are." And why did he do that? Ready? Verse 29, "that no flesh should glory in his presence." That's us included. That's us included. Nobody, no, listen, why will any of us get to heaven? Because of us? Because of something that we have done? Or is it because of the grace of God? Amen? Is it because what we have done, or is it because of what he has done? So he wants us to understand this, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Now, is our God, last thought here, is our God the same yesterday, today, and forever? Is that true? Well, watch this. I want you to see this. Look at chapter 1 there, 1 Corinthians. Look at verse 30. "But of him," again speaking to believers, "but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us," what? "Wisdom and righteousness." Did you see that? "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus." Because of the work of God, you're in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification. Do you know that we can't even separate ourselves unto God? He does that. And redemption. That's being redeemed. Watch this. That according as it is written. Now when the New Testament says that, guess where you're going to find as it is written? In the Old Testament. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. If you want to be proud about anything, be proud about the grace of God. Hold your place here. Let me show you where that's at. Go to the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament, and we'll read this verse and be finished. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24. This is where Paul is getting this from. But let him that glorieth. Oh, look at that. If you're going to be proud about anything, if you're going to rejoice about anything, glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Speaking about God. That I am the Lord, which exercise, here's God, ready? Loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Do you delight in those things? Do you delight in those things? But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that we know him, personally know him. You're not going to heaven if you don't know God. I would rather tell you that right now so that you are not fooled by yourself or somebody else. There is a personal experience that God reveals himself to you. Somehow, some way, you're going to know God. You're going to know that you've been forgiven and make sure that that's the case. That I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness and judgment. Did you see that? Loving kindness. What is his loving kindness? God is saying you don't have to do anything if you'll repent. In other words, agree that your sins are wrong. That's this. Ready? We tell kids to do this all the time. When they do something wrong, we say to them, or we should say to them, maybe we don't do it enough. What do you say? I'm sorry. Right? We're teaching them to be sorry, genuinely sorry. Now sometimes people aren't sorry, but they ought to be sorry if they've done something wrong. And so likewise, God's saying he wants us to repent, knowing that we're standing wrong before the Lord, and then that he is a God of judgment. I told that to one of my friends one time. He says, well, why does God have to judge? Do you know everybody in this room wants judgment? Everybody in this room wants judgment. Now, we've got a bunch of crazy people that don't want judgment. They want the police to go away. But I promise you, you go to those cities where those police are at, and you ask the people in those cities if they want the police to go away. I promise you, they'll tell you, we don't want the police to go away. Because who are you going to call? Who are you going to call? Why does God have to judge? Because, listen, we want wrong. When things are done wrong to you, do you want it just to go away? Unscathed? No problems? Somebody that's running for office said, you know what, people that don't have any money ought to be able to go and rob stores and get away with it. That's the kind of people we need running the show, right? So how about this, ready? See, well, they're wealthy, they got a lot. Well, how about this? How about somebody who has less than you can come into your house and take whatever they want? See, deep down inside, we want judgment. I was watching this one interview between a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ was witnessing to this lady out in California, and she said she didn't believe in God, and she was foul-mouthed, and this guy was being kind to her, and he asked, do you know who Hitler is? And she said, well, yes, I know who Hitler is. Was he a good man or a bad man? Horrible man. Murderer. She didn't believe in heaven or hell. Where's Hitler now? You'll never guess. You'll never guess what she said. Out of her own mouth, he is burning in hell. That's what she said. You know why she said that? Because there was a speck of truth still in her heart. See, here's what we do. Somewhere in life, the Bible tells us, when we knew the truth, we rejected it and we hardened our hearts toward God. Because the truth is, God does not want anybody to leave this life without eternal life. Because the Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And here's a wonderful truth. God wants to fill us up with His life, not ours. With His grace, not ours. That we might be able to share the love of God, what God has given to us, with those who need Him. How do I know they need Him? And listen, be mindful of this. I didn't know I needed God. I thought I was all right at 24 years old. I really did. I am so thankful that the fella that was telling me about the Lord came back around, the long way around, to introduce God to me, and that he didn't give up on me when I told him I wasn't interested. I am so glad he persisted and persevered with the grace of God in sharing me and telling me that Jesus died and paid for all my sins. And that if I would realize that I'm a sinful soul inside. I'm very self-centered. I am. Does that surprise you? We all are. Without God, we're all selfish. Oh, we like to think we're so big. We're doing so much for everybody. Not without the grace of God, we're not. Not without the grace of God. And so God says, these things concerning the truth and the Word of God are spiritually discerned. And the natural man does not have that discernment. But here's the beauty of it already. God says, call on me, and I'll show you. God says, ask me. And deep down in your heart and my heart, you know that's why I opened up. That's why God did a work. But I said, you know what? I am leaving. At 24, I know someday I'm going to leave this life. Maybe I better listen. God did that. Okay, I'm not going to tell you I did any of that. But this man came back around, and something made me say, he's speaking something that I need to hear. And after I heard it, can I tell you something? This might shock you. I didn't say a sinner's prayer. Here's what I said. I saw my sin so blatant before the Lord, I just said, oh, Jesus, save me. That was my prayer. And I cannot tell you, but the glory of God came into my heart and into my mind and said, you've been forgiven. And I rejoice. And I was somebody who did not go to church was saying, thank you, Jesus, in my car, driving down US 1. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. May 8th, 1987. 9 o'clock at night. Don't ask me why I know that. I happen to look at the clock. I don't know why, but I never forgot that. You don't have to know the exact day, time, and hour, but all that just came down on me, and the grace of God changed. The love of God changed my destiny. Do you know the love of God is still in the business of changing my destiny? Ready? He wants to draw me closer to Him, that I might experience Him, listen, in a greater way. Do you know why? And you've heard me say this before, but I just want to remind you. Does God want me to have joy? Is that true? Not the world's joy, but He wants me to have joy. The joy of the world is like a roller coaster. It's empty, really. It's empty. It's empty. Go to this event, do this, do that, buy this, buy that. And then once you get it, it's done. It's over. Up and down. The joy and happiness of God never goes away because I'm still looking forward to the best that's yet to come. Amen. When I see the Lord face to face. Not the world's joy, God's joy. Not the world's peace, God's peace. And God says, I want to give you more of that. And I want it to grow. And I want to fill your cup halfway? Oh, just to the top? Can it get any more than that? Yeah, overflowing. You know why? He wants us overflowing with His joy. For us, the cup is full, and then the overflowing is for the world. Amen. Amen? So, tonight, God wants us to have spiritual discernment. And all we have to say is, oh God, I need You. Amen? I'm calling on You. Please, show me great and mighty things. Would you stand? As we prepare for invitation, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your word. Lord, we thank You so much for sending Your Son to take our place, to die in our stead, to shed his perfect blood to redeem us and to pay for all of our sins that we might have eternal life. What can I say with words? But thank you, God, for your mercy and grace. Bless the invitation. Speak to us, Lord, and draw us closer to you. And if there's anyone here that does not know you as Savior, may they know you before it's too late. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.